If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, we are continuing with our series this week on Queer the Vote and our partnership with the LGBTQ Task Force. As I've mentioned, I had the opportunity to speak with LGBTQ activists who live in battleground states while I was at the Creating Change Conference last month in New Orleans. And I am very excited to bring you those conversations this week. Today, we're going to listen to my interview with Bishop Tanya Rawls. And I can't express to you how much I love this conversation. I particularly really enjoy having conversations with queer faith leaders because what the right has done is they have essentially tried to separate the queer community, the Democrats, progressives from religion, right? By saying that we are godless, by saying that we are an abomination, by using their Bible and using twisted words and rhetoric as a way to disassociate us with faith. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And so in this conversation with Bishop Rawls, we talk about faith and being queer. We talk about what it means to hold on to faith in, you know, times of darkness. And we get into such, you know, an amazing conversation about freedom, about justice, and about religion. And I really hope that you all enjoyed this conversation coming up next. Folks, I am very excited to welcome to Woke AF Daily Bishop Tanya Rawls, who's a national faith leader and social justice advocate. She founded the Unity Fellowship Church in Charlotte and Sacred Souls United Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina, and is founder and executive director of the Freedom Center for Social Justice. A lot of titles, a lot of good work. I want to start off, Bishop Rawls, with talking about the way in which Democrats, the left, progressives have ceded religion to the right. They've been able to claim religion, claim God, right? And around that, claim morality. And what we've seen, particularly over the last 9 years under MAGA supremacy, which is what I call Donald Trump's regime, is anything other than godly. And I'm curious, from your perspective as a faith leader who is also progressive, who also is fighting for social justice and freedoms, Why do you think that we've allowed them to claim faith?
It's a great question. I have been fighting at the intersection of faith and race, social justice, sexual orientation, and gender identity for many years. And that intersection is an important one because it's one that I feel we at the left did walk away from because of the sense that faith was not going to be that important. Mm-hmm. I think in order to really understand the depth of all of this, one would have to understand where the religious right anchored their base, and that was in the South. And so I think many on the left, after it was late, said, oh yeah, the South is going to be important. Oh yeah, we do have to engage with some of these approaches people are taking to using faith as a negative tool instead of positive. There was a deep-seated strategy that was pulled together by the right. And the very fact that we even use that word, the right, it was intentionally selected. So if you think about words like the right, the moral majority, all of this language that supposedly centers core Christian principles, in reality, it was all part of a long game strategy to impact the hearts and minds and spirits of those who would be likely to vote for the right, and to make it seem like those that do that are the most moral, thus the moral majority. We're the majority, the moral majority. The other thing I think that got complicated was when activists really had at some point, not all, but many, made a decision that we did not need the church to win. We don't need faith to win. We need good policies. We need strategies that move politicians. We need those things. But what they left behind was the voters, right? So we, as much as she is complicated, the church still has power and a lot of it. Communities of faith have power and a lot of it. What I think we on the left are grappling with is what to do with that. But we're pretty far down the road now, and we're trying hard to, and the we that I'm talking about now is the broader progressive movement, now owning, oh my goodness, yes, faith is a piece. And it isn't about the quote unquote church. It is, and this is the thing that people have to understand. It is about a mindset. I had been baffled by two things recently. One is deep concern about what's happening in Gaza.
Yes.
And no understanding about how any Christian person who claims to be Christian could support that behavior, could support that genocide and those atrocities. And people are doing it based on Old Testament text. Mm-hmm. To suggest that the occupier has a right to somebody else's land. The other thing that has been troubling is the huge drop-off or rejection that many of our younger people are having in throwing, and I can't even say younger now anymore, because the churches have problems. Communities of faith have had problems. And so to say to the movable middle, believe in the church, believe in democracy. I have young people now who are telling me they considered voting Republican. Mm-hmm. People that I would have never considered thought of thinking about it that way. What's most troubling is while faith got a lot of people, got the right, a lot of capital, what it also did was on the left, I think, really caused a break in our movement, because you have people that feel that faith is important and others who say, I reject all of it. And so the thing the right did was they never lost lockstep with each other. There is no grappling. someone, I heard a post that was so good yesterday, actually. And it was someone, it was a commentator who said, the reason that people are voting for Donald Trump this time and are backing him, and the fact that his popularity is growing with each indictment, they said it's because fundamentally, and this was a conservative talking, fundamentally, we do not believe he lost, and many of us believe he deserves a second chance.
The thing that gets me, as of the time of this recording, we had the Iowa caucuses. And, you know, now the clown car, as I say, is moved on to New Hampshire. But on cable news, they interviewed a Iowa caucus voter, a white male, cis, evangelical, self-identified evangelical voter, who said, Bishop, God uses interesting tools, and Donald Trump is one of those interesting tools.
Yes, and we'll miss it.
My mouth agape.
It's real.
I just don't, I guess what I grapple with, and there are two things I want to come back to in what you just said, which is the fact that there is a divide between those inside of the very large Democratic tent, those who are aligned with faith and those that are not, right? Those that are just aligned with facts and stats and policy and X, Y, and Z. And they scoff at faith in a lot of ways. But when I hear a white evangelical Christian talk to me that a man that has been found guilty of sexual assault, a man that is a cheat, that is a liar, is an interesting tool of God, I don't know where we meet those people, Bishop. I don't know, like, and that's why I say 30% of the country is gone. Because you can't meet that type of cult-like thinking with facts, because they are not answering to the same set of values, morals, and reality that the rest of us are.
Yes, yes. The way that I when I'm speaking with people and they bring that fact up, did you ever call Donald Trump your president?
No.
And was there anything anybody could say to you that could cause you to call Donald Trump your president?
No.
Okay. Did it, when, would you have wanted President Obama to have another term? Possibly. Or somebody other than Trump to have another?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So there was nothing anybody could say to you, because fundamentally, we felt the election was stolen. We felt that he was at the very least a narcissist and possibly a fascist or other things. And I'm up here just saying all the stuff. It's early in the morning, but what I will say is that has helped me understand the Republican position, because what no one could say anything to many of us after we finished crying that would allow us to cross that bridge to say, I'm willing to support this president. It was just nothing anybody could say to me, right? Because I felt it was stolen. They feel it was stolen. There is nothing that supports that. We had a lot on the left that supported the fact that strange things happened during Trump's first run at the White House, 2016. Mm-hmm. That actually helped me for context. So, no, the goal isn't to go for that 30%. They're not going to move.
Right.
However, what is important is that we understand at the intersection that I opened with when I said, you know, I work at the intersection of faith and race, social justice, sexual orientation, and gender identity, to look at culture shift. That's a different kind of work. It's not transactional. It's not, let's go talk to our senator about this particular bill that's coming up or whatever, right? And that's a strategy that I don't know we on the left have been able to commit to as much in terms of staying together with those who can work with us to help move the needle. We're not going to all agree on everything. I'm in the South, okay? Yeah, I'm in North Carolina, to be specific. we have had to really learn how to, and we don't definitely don't have it locked, but we have to learn how to work with people that have fundamental differences on some levels, but are solidly in with us on others. And I think that's going to be important, and which is why I'm happy in terms of some of the things happening here at Creating Change, because there's opportunities for us to be together with different minds.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
What makes me concerned, I think, Bishop, is a couple. I mean, there's a lot of things that make me concerned, but there are a couple of things as it pertains to faith, which is that as the times get increasingly hard, there is a turning to something else, right? Because myself, I can use myself as an example. Over the last several years, I'm not a person that subscribes to any organized religion, but I am a deep person of faith and spiritual connection. And I wonder, with the divide that you mentioned that we do have inside of the Democratic Party, as we are seeing such atrocities, and our human brains are trying to reconcile how do we say that we're a country that stands up for democracy, but Gaza and genocide is what we're funding with our tax dollars? How do we have a president currently that says that he believes in, you know, justice and equity, and yet is not at all in statements as it pertains to Gaza and genocide, doesn't even utter the word Palestinian, right? So when we see these things, I think that people in general, humans, struggle to make sense. And so when we can't make sense, right, we search for faith. And so how do you see that playing into the next 10 months of We have no idea how long these wars, multiple wars, are going to be going on for. But what we do know is that this is the first time that we're watching it in real time.
Yes.
Right? We're watching it in real time. We're not waiting for it to be filtered through one of a handful of news stations. We are watching it with our own eyes on all of our devices. And I'm just, I know that it's far gone, as you said, but it's just like, is there a way that we reclaim faith and connection and our, and coalesce around our common humanity?
Yeah, great point. And absolutely. There is a power that is emerging because of the environment we're in, a power that is bigger than many of the fundamental belief systems that many of us have stood in. America has never experienced what we're experiencing now. And the other thing I think that's important to note is America, democracy is an experiment of sorts in America. She really has never accomplished it fully. It's
right.
An experiment. And so as she emerges, she being democracy, I don't like the word morality because it has been bastardized at this point. It is a word that is subjective and one that has been so misused that it's actually almost toxic at this point. So that said, we all have to imagine differently. I don't trust the systems that were supposed to be built to make me safe. I'm a Black, out, lesbian woman, cisgender. These systems weren't built for me. These systems weren't designed for my people to thrive. And if that's the case, then what I'm excited about now, incredibly excited, is the ways that many activists, faith leaders, regular people walking down the street, because of exactly what you said, we're trying to find that place, but we're also finding each other. Those of us who are doing the grappling, we are finding each other. So if I were to use my faith talk, I would say spirit is drawing us one to another. I was not aware of your podcast until I came to Creating Change. I came to Creating Change, saw your podcast, and like, how do I not know this woman? How am I not engaging with her more deeply? That is happening globally, actually, right? And if we understand a move like that, the transformation that is going on and about to manifest in the next 10 months is going to be revolutionary.
There's a word that you said that I have been meditating on. Imagination, which comes from a place of dreaming, which comes, I think, from a place of ease. And what I'm grappling with is the ability for us to imagine a future that we have not seen when we are anchored with so much despair and hopelessness.
Yeah.
How do we, Bishop, get to a dreamscape, to an imaginationscape that takes us out of the present despair and hopelessness that, by the way, right, the MAGA supremacists are weaponizing? This is where I struggle. And you know, the listeners of my shows, they witness me go up and down and vacillate from we can do it to don't bother me, I'm going to stay in bed today.
Yeah. Again, another great point. We don't get out of it. That's the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow I'm going to be able to put this down and then move on to this other place. The thing that excites me in this moment is I have other movements that inspire me. I have other dreamers who did not necessarily get to live to see their dream manifested. and the fights that they were doing, I didn't have to, you know, when I go and I'm talking truth to power, I'm not worrying about somebody waiting outside to stab me in my stomach. I'm not waiting for somebody to drag me to jail. Well, I've been dragged to jail, but you know, not, but I don't have the fear that a dog is going to attack me. How did they dream? What did they have? What made Marion Wright Edelson believe that she could actually create a fund to defend children? What in her history, her background, they didn't have the history we have to pull from. We've got elders still alive who can help show a path. And I bring the word elder up because the other thing I think that we have greatly lost is the power of what comes through the words and experiences of our elders.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're light bearers.
Mm-hmm.
They hold lights.
Mm-hmm.
They help us to buck up when we want to lay down in our comfortable beds and say, my God, I worked for 12 hours today fighting injustice. It's like, yeah, they would have worked 12 hours fighting injustice and then cleaned Moss's house or ironed Missy's clothes to feed their children and still walk to work instead of catching the bus, right? So I think we've gotten a little soft, personally. Privilege will do that. And if we're not able to own that, it's going to be problematic. This is hard work. This is work that requires sacrifice. This is work that requires us to put ourselves out there and risk something. And I don't know that a lot of people are willing to risk. I don't know that a lot of people are willing to cross generational lines. I don't know if, you know, how many are willing to cross lines to trans people, to gay and queer people, to the disabled community. But again, the spirit is moving and it is drawing us. It's not for me to work with everybody.
Yeah.
But I can tell you when I do find tribe, I recognize tribe. I've met white tribe and I've met black folk that is so far not my tribe. You know what I'm saying? So it's more complicated because back in the day, it was black and white.
Right.
That's not our truth anymore. So this is where imagination comes. We're having to now think about ways to work with people we never thought we'd even be in conversation with. We're having to grapple with what it means to own our own biases. I have to push past some of my stuff. I got a good therapist, you know what I'm saying? Because I want to note that too, because to your point, and you've referenced the mind several times, you don't do this stuff and not get damaged on some level.
Right.
If you're not careful.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I appreciate so much that you just brought up therapy and mental health. I talk to people all the time. I have a therapist that I've had for the last several years. And without her, I would not be able to navigate and would not have grown and been able to expand to be able to carry some of the things that have been put in our paths. And, you know, I want to ask you this last question, which is for the hopeless, right? Because I agree with you. I think that in many ways we have gotten soft. I think in many ways, like if I'm real with myself, would I have been walking 20 miles to work? Probably not, right? In order to, you know, see through a boycott, right? Like, I think that we have to meet ourselves and the moment where we are. But where I'm concerned is with this lingering sense of despair and hopelessness that seems to be taking control and hold over every generation, over every group. So much so that I hear rumblings of people saying, well, I am not going to vote.
That's right.
It's not this, you know, Biden is not aligned with my values. I am not going to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, so you just want to be in the camp then, right? Like, what does this look like for you? So what do you say to that?
People think one of the worst things in the world are the things that hatred produce, right? And hatred has produced horrific things. But personally, I believe there are very few things worse than hopelessness. When one loses hope, there is no energy to be much more than hopeless. And the very act of work or being called to work, right, is overwhelming. And so I think a couple of things in reference to this. One is creating increasing numbers of safe spaces where people can come and grapple together. Increasing number of spaces that celebrate joy in a time when it is difficult. I have to do things intentionally to bring joy into my life because of the nature of my work, right? I'm clear that somebody, when they were talking about, I'd heard someone say something negative one time about Al Sharpton. And I'm from New Jersey, from Northern Jersey. So I'm talking about Al Sharpton that would be in the sweatsuit and curlers in his hair. I'm talking about that Al Sharpton, okay? And they were comparing him to Jesse Jackson and saying how they felt kind of ashamed about the way that Al was showing up versus Jesse Jackson. And the best response I ever heard to that was someone saying, you don't wear a suit to go to the bottom of the barrel. And those who go down to the bottom of the barrel to stir up the dirt, to reveal the stuff, the crud that's down there, they said, that's the work that's Al's work. And he does it well. And they said, and we need Jesse too, though, because by the time it gets to Jesse, Jesse's skimming the residue off the top.
Come on.
And I'm giving that to say, you have the people who would have rejected Jesse and who would have rejected Al, but we needed Jesse and Al. And so if there are also increasing ways that we can validate more of the spectrum, and in our world now, that has to also be multiracial, multi-issue. You know, it was a little bit of a simpler time when all I had yep. to do was fight against everything that's anti-Black. Well, I want to talk about the stuff that's anti-woman. I want to talk about the stuff that's anti-choice for what happens to my body and women like me. And everybody voting against that isn't, you know, my right to choose, isn't somebody on the far right, right? So this is where I talk about imagination. We have to be able to open our minds up more and know that there is a spectrum that we do not have a container for. We don't have the rights container. And I'm happy about that, actually. But we do have to find a way of being able to harness the amazing power, the incredible strength, the resilience that is our community. And the hour I'm speaking about isn't even so much just progressive versus conservative, because there are conservatives that I do share some views with, right? This is why we have to be so careful about how we do some things. But at the end of the day, we have to get unapologetic about being full-throated in reference to the things we don't want, we will not accept, and that we do want, right? And everybody's not going to do all those things. It's not for everybody to do all the things. We need a Jesse, and we need an Al. And we need to get behind those who are doing that work, not judging just because we don't like their hair color today. Who the heck cares? It's their body. Let them do what the heck they want to do, right? But what I do care about is if you're impacting whether or not my grandchildren and great-grandchildren get a good education, I ain't going to stand by and watch you mess that up. So hope can be restored. That's the good news. The good news is hope can be restored. And I am believing for a nation that enables us to build not only hope, but freedom and justice for all.
Bishop Tanya Rawls, thank you so incredibly much for your work, for your words, and for making the time for Woke AF. I hope that I am able to call on you again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been absolutely amazing. And thank you for your courage with your podcast. I have to say, just a full disclosure, I was like, now, is it okay for me to do a podcast called Woke AF? I had to sit for a second, sister. I'm not going to lie. And I said, well, let me check it out. Let me just look at it. And because they said, no, you really need to meet her. And then, you know, certain people, when they say you should meet right. somebody, you like say, and I said, I need to go to Woke AF. I do. And I wanted to say the whole thing. I don't even like having to say, can I say it one time?
Say what?
I love woke as fuck. And I'm going to be acknowledging that everywhere. And I think I want to say the whole thing. Okay.
I appreciate it.
I thank you.
That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF. As always, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.